Now, none of us have met Baha'u'llah. We don't have that kind of personal association that Samandari did. But we have his writings, his word, and it is the word of God that has all of the potential for recreating the human race. This is the power that creates a new world. This is the power that recreates us. It makes us new and whole and happy and fulfilled and ready to serve and even ready to sacrifice. How precious this word of God is. In his most holy book, he tells us a little about the word of God, what it means. And he is talking about the laws that God told him to write down. And friends, keep this in your hearts. In his most holy book, he says, "Think not that we have revealed unto you a mere code of laws. Nay, rather, we have unsealed the choice wine with the fingers of might and power." And so, after 6,000 years of revelation, mankind hungering and waiting for this day, for the teachings that will establish a new world order, the kingdom of God on earth, Baha'u'llah has unsealed this choice wine for us. His laws lead the world to peace. It leads us to justice. It takes all the swords and it turns them into plowshares. It takes all the spears and it makes them into pruning hooks. Friends, Baha'u'llah's word will also disarm the nuclear warheads of this world and bring us peace for our children and their children and their grandchildren too. And so for 3 days we've been here, and like a wonderful, loving party, we have passed this wine around to each other. We have shared this choice wine. We have become intoxicated by it, because this is no mere code of laws. This isn't a big shelf of books with dust all over it. This is something that elevates us and gets us high, and that is what choice wine is supposed to do. And that is what choice wine can do for the world. It can take you up very high. This, friends, will cure depression. This will put every psychiatrist in the world out of business. Sorry, Hossein. You know, old psychiatrists, they don't die, they just shrink away. Would you all please knock that off? Look, if you don't harass me, I won't harass you, okay? Friends, please, don't make the groans too long either. You know, many times when you teach the faith and you give the idea that Baha'u'llah has given laws, and people have strange ideas about what the laws of Baha'u'llah are, you ask those knowledgeable in the faith, what is the most difficult of all of Baha'u'llah's laws? What do you think it is? Do you think that it's drugs? Do you think that it's alcohol? Do you think that it's gambling? Do you think that it's immorality? What do you think it is? Friends, talk to the people in this faith who know what's going on, and they will tell you that the problem that the Baha'is and the world has always had with religion is the most important law of Baha'u'llah. And that law of Baha'u'llah is that we love one another. That is it, friends. That is the central core of everything. But I'll tell you, this weekend has done something to me, because this problem that has plagued humanity for 6,000 years, how to love one another, I think we have the answer as to how this can totally be solved forever. Are you ready, friends? Da-da-dun. To the rescue, the youth movement. Okay? I have seen things this weekend that have given me hope, And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you. You have taught me so much about loving people, loving each other, being together, passing the wine, getting intoxicated, being happy, and being serious about the serious work that you have to do. This is a beautiful example for Baha'is of all ages, and friends, I want to thank you very much. I never in my life, don't clap for yourself, I never in my life thought that I that I would be in love with a bunch of soldiers. But here you are. Aren't you the soldiers of love?
Okay.
And here I am. I'm in love with you. I can't take this. This is so exciting for me. Friends, it is hard to be a soldier. It takes a lot of training, doesn't it? And it takes a lot of discipline. The training, of course, comes from studying the creative word, to enjoy being in the ocean of Baha'u'llah's writings. What does he say in his writings? He says, immerse yourself in the ocean of my words. And the soldiers of love do immerse themselves in the ocean of Baha'u'llah's writings. There are no toe dippers among the soldiers of love. You don't just stick your toe in and say, that's pretty good, I like that. Soldiers of love, they are swimmers, they're splashers, they're divers, they are gurglers, they just are filled with this ocean of love. All Olympic quality. All of you get a 10. Because being a soldier is a tough job and you do what it is in order to be a good soldier. The soldiers of love are truthful with themselves, aren't they? They are. It's hard. I tell you, the easiest person in the world to fool is yourself. It really is. It's amazing how many people you don't fool when you're trying. And it's astonishing that when you really are in a tough jam, it's the easiest person in the world to fool is you. But Abdu'l-Bahá said that truthfulness is the foundation of all virtues. Soldiers are honest about this, and there is not a trace of impure motive. Because in the privacy of their own lives, they have taken the dreaded mirror test. This, friends, is when you go all alone with you and your mirror, and you look in the mirror, and the eyeballs that look back at you are honest eyeballs, and you say, let's talk. And these soldiers of love have answered some very serious questions. For instance, a question that a soldier of love asks himself, how serious am I about peace, about loving people, about serving them? That's a big question. Do I want a Baha'i life, or do I want Baha'i entertainment? These are tough questions, friends. Do I want God's plan to fit into my life, or do I want my life to fit into God's plan? What does martyrdom mean? What is all this business in Iran? How will my life be different and better because these Persian believers, lovers, have given their lives? These are difficult questions to answer, but the soldiers must know who they are inside. And then they must begin this very first battle, and that, of course, is the battle of themselves. In 1921, Shoghi Effendi was 25 years old. Many of you will be 25 soon. He was a student. Many of you are students. And Abdu'l-Bahá passed away. And years later, he told the hand of the cause, Leroy Iwas, that he had no idea whatsoever that he would be called upon to become the head of this religion, that he would be called upon to be the head of the House of Justice, that he would be called upon to interpret the writings of Baha'u'llah, a 25-year-old student. He was shattered by this experience, and he said, Leroy, for 7 months I stayed away, and I prayed, and I meditated, and I conquered myself, and I gave myself to God. We cannot escape conquering ourselves if our beloved guardian had to do it first. Then we are ready to be a soldier of love. But soldiers need bullets, right? Can't go out there with an empty rifle. What are we going to fight with? That's a tough enemy out there. They spend $100 billion a year trying to convince you that you are a commodity and that they can buy and sell you. What kind of bullets are these soldiers going to take with them? They are going to take really great bullets. They're going to take bullets of knowledge. Bang! You hit somebody with knowledge, there's very little of it around, friends. And then we're going to hit them with understanding. Bang! Wow, this guy really understands me. Sure, we understand you. You're part of the old world order. Our writings are filled with stuff about the old world order. We understand you. Doesn't take too many bullets to get these people, you know. Bullets of wisdom. Bang! Wisdom from somebody your age. Do you know what that means? This is incredible. Kindness. Bang! That's kind of a little... not a real bang. It's... How about a bullet of purity? When you're living in a cesspool, here you are, stainless, pure. That gets him. It's kind of like a gurgle. How about a bullet of enthusiasm when the world is bored to tears? How about that, you soldiers of love? Some enthusiasm. We have it. Let's shoot them. And the biggest bullet of all, 99 caliber bullet. This, friends, is the bullet of service. Only soldiers of love have this bullet of service. Friends, what service means is to do it. 1 million good intentions don't equal one good thing that you do. You can dream all day, but if you don't do it, it doesn't matter. Believe me, it doesn't matter. Do it. Because service draws to us holy confirmations. This is in our writings. Service means that we mean it. Service means that we believe it. And service means that we love. We are proving to the world that the love of Baha'u'llah is in our hearts and it's in our hands as we extend it to the world to help them, to save them, to rescue them. And our love has to be proven. We can talk about love all day, but we have to prove it. The quality of our love has to be so high. It has to raise us to new heights, new visions. I want to tell you a story about a 9-year-old boy who had a 2-year-old sister. And this 2-year-old sister was very ill. She had a strange blood disease, and this disease was killing her. But through many kinds of transfusions and different kinds of chemicals, she was pretty much controlled. Finally, everything went haywire. All the blood donors were wrong. Everything just went bad in this girl's system. And the doctors came to this 9-year-old boy, and they said, "We've tested everyone's blood, and your blood is the only blood that can save your sister's life. Will you give your sister your blood?" The 9-year-old boy said, "Of course I will." And this was in the old days when they used to lay the donor down next to the recipient. And they would hook their arms up with a tube and they would pump the blood from one person to another. And here he was laying on a table, this 9-year-old boy, and next to him was his 2-year-old sister. And the doctor came over and just kind of stroked his brow and said, "How are you doing?" And the 9-year-old boy looked up at the doctor and he said, "I'm doing fine, doc. But just tell me, when do I die?" The doctor said, "Honey, you don't die. We only need a little bit of your blood to help your sister." How many of us are ready to ascend to those kinds of heights of service? To be the aggressive lovers of humanity. To take whatever our situation is and go into the world like the House of Justice called for in their message on social and economic development and show the world that Baha'u'llah is more than just words. It is words that touch hearts, that make people go and serve. In Germany, the House of Justice has praised a project, a social and economic development project, that is so simple, friends, it will bring tears to your eyes. In Germany, there are many Iranian women who are refugees, who do not speak German. They volunteer to visit orphanages. And what they do when they visit orphanages is they hold babies. Babies need to be held. They need to be talked to. The babies don't speak German either, so they're just fine. This is social and economic development that the House of Justice has praised. We don't have to dry up the Amazon River, friends, to think that we're involved in social and economic development. The kind of love we're talking about is real happy love, right? And it's real exuberant love, and it's love with lots of hugs and holding hands and saying prayers together and investigating the writings and passing this wonderful wine back and forth between your friends. But it is serious business, too. It is serious business, too. The world is in such bad shape that the cure is definitely serious. In a part of India, there is a leper colony. And in this leper colony are the most unfortunate people probably in the world. These people go there and literally they just disintegrate. And there are sisters, Roman Catholic nuns, who volunteer to go to these leper colonies. And they work with these people day in and day out, just weeping away their lives for these people. And I heard a story of an American journalist who went to visit one of these leper colonies and saw the work that these people had done. And we're doing day after day. And after being there about 3 days, she just couldn't take it anymore. And she was sitting in a chair watching this old nun who had done this for maybe 30 years, washing the body of a leper. And this journalist just shook her head and she said to this nun, she said, "You know, sister, I wouldn't do what you're doing for $1 million. And the sister looked up at her and said, "You know something? Neither would I." Where is this kind of love that the world needs? We can't hide it in leper colonies. We can't hide it in our own little teeny Baha'i communities. We have to let it out and save this continent. North America is not very serious about this kind of love. You have to realize that. North America is not that serious. A very wise person, friends, remember this, a very wise person analyzed America. They said that in America, we worship our work. That's for sure. We work at our play. If you've ever seen anybody play golf or jog or something, you know you work at your play, right? And the third one is we play at our worship. We fool around. It's something we do because that's what our name is. I'm a Methodist, I'm a Jew, whatever it is. The soldiers of love are out to change all that. How can we, Baha'is, play at our worship when we know that the history books of our faith are filled with stories of grandfathers and great-grandfathers and great-uncles who have given their lives for this faith? And now, the new martyrs of Iran, they're not someone's great-grandmother or someone's great-great-uncle. They are our brothers and sisters. They are our generation. We don't read about them in history books. We read about them in the New York Times. Friends, their blood is in our veins. We are them and they are us. And we must do our best to help them. Because these youth martyrs especially, do you think that they are soldiers of love too? Do you think that they have this in their hearts to give to this generation? And we're sad because our fellow soldiers of love in Iran have fallen. They're martyrs. Does this make us retreat? Okay. Does this frighten us? Do we give up? What do we do? The soldiers of love are tough. They are disciplined. Do you think you can be a soldier and not pay any price for it? This youth movement is too important for that. The soldiers of love, they turn to the Supreme Universal House of Justice when their comrades fall. And with their eyes filled with tears, they read the words of the House of Justice. "Surely you will see that the heroic deeds of sacrifice on the part of your Iranian brethren are matched in corresponding efforts on your part in the vast fields of teaching and service. And then when our eyes are cleared, we move. We take this choice wine and we pass it on to someone else. No martyr in the history of the faith ever died for a newspaper.